I'm always on the lookout for headlines to help introduce sermons. Last week there was one that was just so obvious, I don't know whether you saw it, that just stood out. I think we've got an image of it now. It simply says, Holy Spirit saves German driver from speeding fine. And I thought, if I can't get that into a sermon, I am in trouble. I don't know whether you can see the picture, but the report was that a speeding driver in Germany was saved from a £93 fine when a snow-white dove interceded on his behalf. Because the driver was caught on speed cameras, but his identity was hidden by the bird's wings spread in flight. A police statement following suggested perhaps it was no coincidence the Holy Spirit intervened. A reference, obviously, to the dove being a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And they go on to say, we have understood the sign and leave the speeder in peace this time. But the officials in this town in Germany were a little concerned other people might get away with this. So they reported, we hope that the protected speeder likewise understands this hint from above and drives appropriately in the future. I don't know about whether you think stories like that, whether God is involved in things like this. But it asks me a question as we look at the passage, as we're looking through a series on Joshua. Is what sort of God do you believe in? Do you believe in a God that does miracles? Do you believe in a miracle-working God if, and I'm not saying he did, if he so wanted, could stop you being fined with a dove? Do you believe in a miracle-working God that when we read in Joshua chapter 10, as we will in a minute, that the sun stood still? Do you believe that the creator God that we worship could cause the sun to stand still in the sky? Do you believe in a miracle-working God? And the question as we look at this topic is, if we do believe in a God, miracle-working God, which we'll come on to see ultimately, the evidence that we do believe in a miracle-working God is not that the sun stood still, but the sun rose after he'd been in the ground 3 days. The evidence that resurrection is our belief. We believe in a miracle-working God. If we do, what does that mean for you and me? Do we believe that this miracle-working God can perform a miracle for you and for me? Isn't it great to have seen, I love the baptisms. They don't have to share their testimony, we just love it. Because it's great to hear how God is a miracle-working God. And how he changes lives, broken lives, lives that are a bit messed up, lives which haven't followed the path that perhaps they'd hoped for, but God steps in and performs a miracle. What does that mean? And as we look at this passage, I want us to think, if I want a miracle in my life, or if I want a miracle in the lives of those around me, what does that mean? How will I see that? But let's turn to Joshua chapter 10, and don't have time to read it all, but we're going to read from verse 6. It follows directly, obviously, really, from Joshua chapter 9. But sometimes there's a gap, but this follows straight on. The Gibeonites had just formed a covenant with the people of God, the Israelites. They just formed a covenant. They were a bit deceptive in the way they did that. And if you want to hear about that, listen to Esther's sermon last week. But they formed this covenant. And now they went back to their hometown, which was about 30 miles away. But the other kings, the other rulers of the area, heard that the Gibeonites had formed this covenant with this miracle-working God. This God that they had heard had parted the waters of the Jordan. This miracle-working God who they heard march round the city of Jericho and the walls come tumbling down. They heard this and they were worried and they thought, let us attack the Gibeonites. which they did. The Gibeonites then sent word to the people of God, the Israelites, and said, we are being attacked. Come to our aid. Come and help us. Now, if I was Joshua, I'd say, phew, they deceived us. I can get rid of them without having to break my covenant. I can just stand back and let them be defeated. That's what I would have done. Sorry, that's what I would have done. But not Joshua. Joshua knew the covenant he formed was with God. And he went. And then we read this in verse 6. The Gibeonites then sent word to Joshua in the camp at Gilgal. Do not abandon your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us. Help us because all the Amorite kings from the hill country have joined forces against us. So Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you. After an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon. Israel pursued them along the road going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makkedah. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you moon over the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. We see here in this passage the prayer that stopped the sun. A prayer that believed God for the impossible. This prayer of Joshua. And as we look at this prayer of Joshua in verse 14, I want us to think, what does it mean for us? If I want to see a miracle in my life, if I want to see God cause the sun to stand still in my life, to perform that miracle that I've been wanting and seeking, what does that mean for me? Can I suggest a few things? Firstly, the prayer that Joshua prayed was the prayer of the called, the prayer of the chosen. Because we read in verse 8, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. This is really a repeat of what God had told Joshua in chapter 1. Be bold, be strong, for I am with you. This is the promise. The first thing, the prayer that performs a miracle is the prayer of those who are called, those who are chosen, those who are God's children. And if we want to see God answer our prayers, we need to know that God is with us. Whether God was with that German driver, I don't know, but we need to know that God is with us. And how do we know if God is with us? We respond. By being baptized. If we really believe that Jesus is Lord, our response, as Peter says in Acts, is to repent, to believe that Jesus is God and proved it by his resurrection, and to be baptized, and we will receive the gift of the dove, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of sonship. Remember when Jesus was baptized, what descended on him? A dove descended on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when we are baptized, when we put our faith in Jesus, we become part of the called, the chosen. We hear the words of the Heavenly Father over us. Maria, you are my child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. That happens at baptism. When the Holy Spirit comes on Maria as she's been baptized, those words are spoken into the depth of her being. She knows she's a child of God. She knows she is called. She knows that God is with her. She knows she's been raised out of that water into eternal and everlasting life. It is the life of God within her that will never go. God will be with her always. And if we are going to be those who see the miracle working God in our life, we need to pray as those who know that they are children of God, they are called, they are chosen. The reason we leave this baptistry open is that some of you, as you hear God's word, may be cut to the heart and say, I want to believe in that God. And I want to have that acceptance. I want to know that I'm a child, that I am called, that God loves me and is pleased with me and accepts me. And we don't want you have to walk out the building without knowing that. And so if you are cut to the heart and you put your faith in Jesus and you want to be baptized, that's why this is open. Just let us know, because you need to know that you are called and chosen. The second thing about this prayer of Joshua, it was a prayer as he was challenged to pray. He was challenged into this prayer because he was called by the Gibeonites. They called over to him, come and help us. And sometimes there are situations in our lives, the life of our families, the life of those around us, and we are challenged to pray. Those that we are in a covenant relationship, which is particularly our families. And situations happen to us and we feel the call, the challenge to pray. That we can't just accept things as they are. We cannot just accept that this is God's purpose and a plan, these defeats, these struggles. And so we feel the challenge, as Joshua did, the challenge to respond with integrity. As I say, he could have easily not done it, it would have solved his problem. But he formed a covenant with these people. And therefore he was committed to pray. He took the challenge to pray. Is God causing you to pray for something or someone or some situation? Is there that challenge that you think isn't right? Isn't of God? Isn't what things should be? Well, what should your response be? Just to hope it will disappear? Or do you believe in a miracle working God? And you take the challenge to pray. What did Joshua do? As soon as he heard, he spent all night. He marched his army through the night. He didn't even wait till daylight. He chose the best of his fighting men and they marched all night. That's the challenge of prayer, isn't it? We live in an instant society. I can get my instant coffee. I can get my instant sermon illustration. I can get my instant anything. That's not the way God works. God is the God of eternity. And when we take up the challenge, it can be hard work. It can be a sacrifice. And I was challenged when I've been over to so-called support my brothers and sisters in Africa when I've had the privilege to go there. Actually, they don't need my support because they're up all night praying for those. Joshua marched all night. Have you taken the challenge of prayer? What does that mean for you? Have you given it a quick thought in the morning or an arrow prayer at night? Or are you going to take prayer seriously? That God has called you. He's chosen you. And he wants you to see the miracles of God in his life. He was challenged by the call. He was also challenged by the promise of God. He was confident because he would pray confidently. So not only was it a prayer of someone who's called, not someone who's challenged, but it was also a prayer of someone who was confident that God would answer. How was he confident? Because God had spoken to him. God had spoken to him. God had said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand you." He had the promise of God. Whether it was a direct word of fresh, which I think it probably was, or whether he just remembered what God had said to him in Joshua 1. It was the promise of God. And he could go confident. He could raise to the challenge because he knew God was with him and this was God's promise for him that he would overcome. And as we pray, we need to turn to the scripture. We need to pray the scripture promises. We need to be filled with God's word. That this is where our prayer begins, in the promises of God. That we begin to look for those promises. And as we pray for our family, as we pray for our children, there are many psalms which talks about the blessings of God for our families. And we need to pray those promises. Pray the promises we read in the Old Testament, because Paul says all the promises are yes and amen in Christ. We pray the promises we read in the scripture. The promises of what God has said for his people. Then we can be confident in our praying because we can believe in a God who is a big God. And ultimately Joshua was confident not just because of the promises of God, not because he also knew that God was the God who was the miracle working God. He was confident in this God because he'd seen God part the Jordan. He'd seen God as he marched round Jericho 7 times. Again, interesting, why 7 days, 7 times? Sometimes we have to continue in prayer. But he'd seen God work the miracle. Even before that, he'd met the commander of the Lord's army. And he'd asked, "Whose side are you on?" And the army said, "Neither. But as captain of the Lord's army, I have come." Because we are on his side, not he on our side. So as we are confident in the God who is moving and working and fulfilling his promises and bringing out his purposes, we need to pray as the confident. Pray as the called. Pray as the challenged. Pray as the confident. But I don't know about you, but as I was preparing, this verse really struck me, verse 14. "There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." There's not been like a day before it or a day since when a prayer like this was answered. So does that mean that we cannot pray for those miracles? Does that mean that this prayer of Joshua was unique because it hadn't happened before and it's not going to happen again? So what does it mean for me if I'm wanting to pray for those miracles? Well, I hope as you've gone through this series, you've begun to realize that all of the Old Testament and Joshua here is not to point to Joshua, but to point to another commander, another captain, the true captain of the Lord's army. The Joshua here and in other places is a type of the commander of the Lord's army, is a type of Jesus Christ. Because it is his prayers that are the miracle-working prayers. It is the prayer of the man, God-man, Jesus, that really this prayer is pointing to. Because you remember the incident. Do you remember the incident when his best friend Lazarus had died? He could have saved him in his life, but he didn't. He waited around. He then went to the tomb. He then went and met the sisters. And he said, "If you believe, he will rise again." They said, "Yes, Jesus, we believe he'll rise at the resurrection." They hadn't quite heard. This Jesus is a miracle-working God. He wasn't talking about the resurrection. He was talking about literal resurrection. He then went to the tomb. He then asked the tomb to be rolled away. And then he prayed. A prayer that has never been prayed like before or since. He prayed. He says, Father, I know that you hear me. But this is for their benefit. That they may know that you hear me. And then he simply says three words. Lazarus, come out. Two in the original. Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. Because the miracle working God, Joshua was unique. But he was unique because he was pointing to the God-man. He was unique pointing to the one whose name was Jesus, who truly would be the Saviour. He is the one pointed who would speak and give life. He is the one who pointed who would touch the leper and they would be healed. He was pointing to the one who would take the water and to turn it into wine. He is the one who was pointing to this miracle worker, Jesus of Nazareth. And when I pray, when I pray, I don't pray in my name. I don't pray as a Joshua. I pray, as Christians are taught, in the name of Jesus. So if I want to see a miracle, I don't pray in my name. Do you remember the story in Acts? When Peter and John went to pray, they met a lame man on the way. Know that? Sure you know that from your Sunday school? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They then have to say, no, not of our power, nothing to do with us, not to be in the name of Peter, but in the name of Jesus. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. Because it's not my prayer. It's not your prayer that will cause the sun to stand still or the dead man to raise or your family situation to be turned around or your health situation to be turned around. Nothing to do with that. It's the Jesus, the great Joshua, who performs the miracles. And we pray in his name. So if we want to see the miracle, pray. We pray as the call. We pray as the challenge. We pray as the confident. And we pray in the name of the commander. We pray in his name for the miracle. We also, can I say, pray at the cross. Because if you read any discussion on this chapter, there are three different views of commentators of what actually happened. And which one is true? I'm not completely sure. Some would say, actually, the sun didn't stand still. That actually there was no effect in the heaven or heavenly bodies at all. And actually, all that this is talking about is that actually God worked the great miracle. And we read, how did he do the miracle? How was the army overcome? Did you hear it? Hailstones. So God worked a miracle, even if the miracle wasn't the heavenly bodies actually stopping, that actually some people say this is the language of that time. You can read it in Habakkuk, you can read it in other places where it talks about heavenly bodies being moved or changed as something dramatic that's happened on the earth. Some people would say that. Now that's not to say they don't believe in the miraculous, but they think the miracle was the hail. Some people would say, actually, God did perform that miracle. And that miracle was the sun standing still. And how did that happen? Well, either God slowed down the rotation of the earth or he stopped the rotation of the earth for a time. And therefore the sun did stand still so that Joshua could have time to overcome all his enemies. And we'll come back to that in a minute. He had the time and God could have done that. The third option is actually when we look at the Hebrew, it talks about the sun standing still. Actually, the word could be silent. It's like the Hebrew word for dumb. That actually what actually has happened is the sun stopped shining and the moon stopped shining. And actually what could have been here is actually this happened as Joshua came. Remember, Joshua marched all night. And we read, he surprised them. Now, the argument could be that actually Joshua wanted that surprise to last longer so that he could fully overcome. So therefore, instead of the sun standing still, it certainly stopped from shining. And the moon just stopped shining. So the darkness remained. Now, the evidence for that is actually quite overwhelming. It doesn't sound true to you because the English makes it clear one way. But actually, the way it tells it is of where the sun and the moon were. Now, I was never very good with my astronomy. But the two places it gives where the sun and moon are, I've lost my notes somewhere, you have to trust me. The place where the sun and the moon are is one is on the east and one is on the west, and that only happens early in the morning. So actually, they're saying this did actually happen as the sun was rising and that it stopped because of the position of where they saw the sun and the moon. And that would have only happened early in the morning. That's what some people say. Now, if that is true, and I think, if I'm honest, I'd probably go for that. Why I go for that is because the first thing, if we want to see a miracle, is we need to pray as the call, pray as the challenge, pray as the confident, pray in the name of the commander. But we also need to pray at the cross. What do I mean by that? At the cross, when Jesus died on that cross, what happened at midday? When Jesus was on the cross, what happened? The sun stopped shining. Darkness covered the earth from midday to 3 o'clock. Darkness. A battle. A battle for your salvation and my salvation. A battle for your future and my future. And at the end of that battle, when the darkness disappeared, Jesus says, the words that have echoed down history from that moment of the cross to this moment, it is finished. It is finished! The victory is won. The battle's been overcome. All the demonic powers, all the sins, all the spiritual forces, it's all been dealt with once and for all. In that darkness, in that battle, it's all gone. It's all defeated. Therefore, my children no longer have to struggle with sin. They can be overcome from addictions. They can be forgiven. They can be set free. Because on that cross, it was done. The darkness was overcome. The battle was won. It was finished. And so when I pray for the miraculous, when I pray for the reward in my life, when I pray for my family, when I pray to see that miracle, I pray in the name of Jesus, but I pray because at the cross, he shouted, "It is finished." And I pray on the finished work of Jesus. Nothing more needs to happen to overcome the forces of darkness and evil. Nothing more needs to be done. It was all done on the cross. And therefore I can pray in the name of Jesus, believing that nothing more needs to happen for me to see a miracle in my life, because it was done from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the darkness on the cross. That's why I like the interpretation. It was darkness. Because whether it was an eclipse, whether darkness was other ways, because another portion of the Bible seems to indicate it was just over that part of the land. Whether it was just the hailstones had caused darkness, I don't know. But what I do know is when I come to pray for a miracle, I pray because on the cross, Jesus cried, "It is finished." And finally, we need to pray until completion. The reason I might like the other version, that the sun did stand still, is because what we read here is that through this time, Joshua is trying to bring out the victory of God overall. And sometimes that doesn't happen quickly. Sometimes that takes time. Sometimes I have to be determined to see it fulfilled. Sometimes I have to battle and fight to see all the promises and purposes of God in my life and my family. Sometimes it's hard work. Sometimes it takes longer than 12 hours. Sometimes, though the miracle may happen, I have to keep on keeping on. And whether that happened in the morning or through the day, I don't really know. But the principle is true. In my prayer life, if I want to see a breakthrough, if I want to see a miracle, I need to pray until something happens. Push. I need to keep on pushing through until something changes. And if I do that, if I pray as the called, as a child of God, if I pray as those challenged to pray and committed through night prayer, continual prayer, if I pray confident on the promises of God that what I'm praying He promises and in a God who performs miracles, if I pray in the name of Jesus, if I pray at the finished work at the cross, and if I pray until completion, then I believe you and I will see miracles. We will seek God and we will be rewarded and we will overcome and we will worship the God of miracles. That's what we believe. That's what we come to. And that's our challenge from Joshua this morning. Do you want to see a miracle? Do you believe God is a miracle working God? Well, the first place you have to begin is here. The first place you have to begin is by believing in Jesus, died and rose again, and being baptized. And for some of you, you need to begin here. And you may have other issues going on in your life and say, well, I need to get my life sorted first. I need to overcome this addiction or overcome that sin. Or my mental health issues are just too strong at the moment. I'll wait till I'm feeling better. Or my physical health problems are just too much. I'll have to wait till I'm better. No. You're never going to see a miracle. Sorry. Until you come in your brokenness, in your sin, in your failure, in your weaknesses. And you come and say, to whom else shall I go, Jesus? You are the miracle-working God. And I'm going to believe in you. And I'm going to come and be baptized to say I believe in you. And that's going to be the start of my journey. Because this is not the end. This isn't the place where I say everything's sorted in my life. I really fully understand. I really fully believe. I'm going to fully go on the mission field and change the world for Jesus. So I'm going to be baptized. Doesn't happen that way. Come in your brokenness. Come in your weakness. Come putting your faith in belief in God and knowing that as you earnestly seek Him, He will reward you. Have you been baptized? Or you need to go through, what are you challenged to pray for? Are you confident in God's promises? Are you praying in the name of Jesus? Are you praying at the cross? And will you keep on praying until something happens? Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we want to see miracles this morning. We want to thank you for the miracle of Maria. We want to thank you for the crutches that were left behind. We want to thank you for the call on her life. We want to thank you for that public declaration of her following Jesus. And we want to thank you for the gift of the Spirit that now indwells Maria. But Lord, that miracle is not just for her. Lord, lots of miracles need to happen this morning. We want to see a miracle-working God soften hearts, change lives, perform miracles, overcome mental health, overcome physical illness, set people free from addictions, help people be at peace with who they are made to be, and the situation they are in. And Lord, for us, your word tells us it begins here. And those who have been baptized, may they rise up afresh and pray in the name of Jesus for what they are going through. For those who do not have faith, may they come this morning and put their faith in Jesus.